The BCPA is a little more singular in that it's owned by the city of Bloomington, and our funding comes out of the general fund. So that's really terrific. We get a really wonderful head start there. And then all of the ticket sales that are generated, the rentals, any income that we derive, whether it's a grant, a donation, a partnership, a sponsorship, that goes back into the city of Bloomington's general fund. So our goal isn't like other freestanding facilities where you need to really be thoughtful about how you're spending your money at the beginning. Our goal is to kind of balance out at the end. And of course, like all not-for-profit arts centers, we end up with a small subsidy at the end, and we're trying to close that gap.
Are you trying to be able to also give money back to the city?
Oh, yeah. We give all of it back. What we're trying to do is if they give us $3 million to run our season, we'd like to give them back $3 million in one at least so that we can not have been a burden. But like all city services, we expect there will be some subsidy. Our percentage in the Department of Parks, Rec, and Cultural Arts, which is where the BCPA sits, is well ahead of the national average in giving back money that's given to us.
Are you able to give back any more than that?
No, and we do suffer some losses, but they're not really anywhere near as high as the national average. So we're thankful for that. The BCPA sits in a different kind of arena in that we're also somewhat the civic center for downtown Bloomington, and of the 550 events that happen there each year, only 40 or so of those are presented, arts presenting season. The rest of those are life events like weddings and celebrations of all kinds, birthdays and conferences, classes, just a wide variety of rentals in that building.
Tina, what about programming? Tell us how programming has evolved over the past 10 years. Was it different when the Arts Center started or even when you started your job?
Yes. Actually, the programming used to be driven by who the audience was, who was coming to the theater, who had the expendable dollars, and you would see seasons that would reflect the audience that was already there.
Which I imagine would be a white, largely middle class, perhaps retired audience?
Yes. Yes. A lot of baby boomers in that crowd, at this time of our existence. And that's traditional as well. You have certainly the well-heeled that could afford it in decades past. As programming became more affordable and as people determined that they worked hard enough during the week and they were going to spend what money they did have, maybe sometimes making a choice between paying a bill or going out and treating themselves to an artist that they would like to see, the buying trend certainly changed, even through some of the deepest parts of the recession. So what I look for when I'm programming is, of course, I don't want to alienate the crowd that is already there, the folks that might be 10 or 15 years older than I. But I want to see things that I want to see, and I certainly want to look for artists that are entertaining, engaging, have an educational component, that will do in-service in the community in one way or another, and that will be representative and vital to people who aren't coming to the Arts Center and giving them a reason to come. So what we try to do is take artists like Mayhem Poets or Black Violin and ask them if when they come, they'll do an educational component out in the community.
Outreach.
Yes, because there's some people that, still feel that maybe they don't have the right shoes or they don't have the right, sense of etiquette to come to the BCPA. And those things are just non-existent. You don't need a certain pair of shoes to come there. I go in there in tennis shoes all the time.
I've seen them. They're great tennis shoes.
Thank you.
Well, you hit on a good point because I lived in Chicago for many years, as you know, and often I was struck by the fact that there were very few African Americans who went to the Chicago Symphony. Mm-hmm. But the Chicago Sinfonietta, which had an African American conductor and had a number of young African American musicians performing in the orchestra, there you would see majority Black audiences. So, how do you reach out to our minority communities? We have African Americans, we have Hispanics, we have Asian Americans living here. How do you reach them?
Well, the first thing that I do is, again, I continually let people know that I want them to tell us what they want to see on the stage at the BCPA, and that doesn't matter in what demographic you sit. it doesn't matter to me, really, who's on stage, as long as it's a quality performer that will have a meaningful exchange with the audience. And it might not even be something that's a genre I care about. Pardon the syntax there. But I really just want people to have the opportunity that they might not otherwise get, you know, even in a commercial venue nearby. The fact that we're part of the city gives us a little bit of a license to say, then, as a member of the community, as a member here, a citizen of McLean County, we'll try to make it happen for you to see this artist here, even if it means you can't afford the face value of the ticket. And the same thing is true with the people that they would like to see on stage. You have a buy-in. You have a voice to let us know. Most of this 10th anniversary season are names that came to me from the community over the 2.5 years I've been here. So community members have called or emailed or come in and said, I'd love to see one of my favorite comedians ever, Louis Anderson. He's so clean and wonderful, we can bring our whole family to laugh at his shows. The Oak Ridge Boys, classics in the country western music industry. They're tight, four-part harmonies, incredible. They are also huge in gospel and Christian music. They have been the number one requested artist over the surveys that I've seen since I've come to Bloomington.
I have to admit, when I do go to BCPA, that the audience is, at least at the performances I've been at, they are mostly older. So how do we get the millennials, the Gen X's and Gen Y's into this fabulous facility that we have, this fabulous resource for the arts?
It's funny, the audience will turn up in the strangest places, especially the younger audience. We'll see more youthful faces at our silent films with live organ accompaniment, as an example. And I love that because, again, I think it just proves that if something is a classic, it'll cycle around and people will come up and find it again. So it's been extraordinary to see the number of college students and 20-somethings that have been in the audience for the silent films. The Beatles tribute band, American English, we're bringing back. Again, you know, it's the Beatles. Everybody loves the Beatles. And right now, there are people on college campuses who are discovering them for the first time.
Right. They seem to get discovered over and over again by successive generations.
They do. We do have up-and-coming country stars this year. We have Three Girls Rock Into a Bar. Those are three girls who are singer-songwriters with terrific stage presences, and they all have kind of a different story to tell, and they've put their show together because that's what they do in Nashville. Three girls play together or two or whatever. So we have them coming, and that will skew to a younger audience. We have some classic theatricals coming. Elf for the holidays. Annie, you can't go wrong with Annie.
A Tony-winning musical.
Yes. And then a musical review, Route 66, and all the great music of the Mother Road there. So that's fun because Route 66 is celebrating.
Who's doing that Route 66 show?
That is Springer Theatricals, and they're traveling the country with that. And I don't even know that they knew this was the 90th anniversary of the Route 66 being in existence. So it's kind of fun that we have that right here. And then there are just other things that we hear tangentially from maybe one or two people, but we respect their opinions so much that we look into it. We had an intern last year who's in marching bands and things, and we heard about a group called Mukapatsa, which the concept of which is, what if high school was flipped upside down and all the nerds were really the people playing sports and all the really cool people were in the band and in the theater department? And so this is a group, again, of 20 and 30-somethings who said, let's get out our old band uniforms, let's play classics and rock and roll and the Great American Songbook, but in the style of a marching band. So it's fun and it's unique, and it will appeal to lots of different people, and we like that kind of stuff. We were looking at some YouTube sensations, and I think Black Violin and Mayhem Poets fall into that category, and I'm really excited for a lot of kids to come and see both of those groups, because again, who would think that going to a poetry concert or a spoken word of any kind would be a night of fun, but yet it will be transformative for some of these kids.
You and I both love living in Bloomington Normal. We love our community. But is it difficult to convince really big acts and big celebrities, performers to come to Bloomington Normal when they could go to Chicago, they could go to Peoria?
I think most artists are interested in the same thing. I think we are all storytellers, and I think that the goal is to make sure that whatever story you're telling from the stage, in whatever way you're doing it, whether it's music, dance, theater, film, etc., gets communicated to your audience. And the setup in the BCPA is so beautiful. It's almost 1,200 seats, so we can kind of get a bigger star because we can play the math correctly and make the money work. But it's so intimate, it's probably not 55 feet to the back wall of the main floor.
Right. I don't think there's a bad seat in the house.
There isn't. The balcony is so far forward. I think it's to row G. So the seats are very intimate. So this works particularly well for true storytellers, stand-up comedians, singer-songwriters, those people that aren't surrounded by a lot of production. Solo performances are beautiful in that space, and the acoustics are wonderful too. So it's not hard to convince people for that reason, because they know they can tell their story there very well. It's also strategically, we're at the confluence of three interstates, 55, 74, and I always forget about 39. So as people are driving around, you know, coming down from Madison, Wisconsin, or coming over from Indianapolis, we're right here just a couple of hours away from everything, and that makes for a very nice tour schedule.
Well, I'm excited.
Yes.
All right. We've been talking with Tina Salamone, the executive director of the Bloomington Center for the Performing Arts. Thanks so much, Tina, for coming in.
Thank you.
I'm Judy Valente.